Welcome to Starving Universe On Call. I am Poe Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SLB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talk cast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either dial on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the talk show website at www.talkshow.com. And search for call ID 17702. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you need to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGemes. And of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My account for this wonderful podcast is sfuoncall. SFUONCALL. And of course, my personal account is Paul Franz. So that'd be twitter.com/PaulFranz. That's PaulFranz. And of course, I have my business account, which is Franz Games, FranzGemes. And of course, this lovely talk cast gets turned to a podcast and available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week. Steve Cole was busy working on the Gorn Master Starship book and also the latest communique and healing frequencies. Steve Petrick, of course, has been busy with SFB updates and also the Gorn Master Starship book. Gene, my dear Gene, has been busy working on updating the GURPS Prime Directive version, you know, the latest version, which is, I can't wait for that to come out. As soon as it comes out, I will be buying it in heartbeat. Also, she proofread the latest communique and also compiled her parts of the latest hailing frequencies. I'm moving on to the SFB Online tournaments. Of course, we have the Masters Tournament run by Andrew Koch. Only 5 games have been played round 1 and 1 game has been played round 2 that's been basically stalled for a few months now. Now, I have sent out an email to all of the individuals who have not played their first round game. Hopefully, this will encourage people to say, hey, wait a minute, there is a tournament I am involved in. No one's contacted me about this, so let's get this thing rolling. So, I've done that, and hopefully that can get things rolling when it comes to that tournament. Now, the Rat 48 tournament, a little better. Not great, but a little better. We have one more game completed in round 2, which is awesome to see. Also, round 1, I was actually a witness. I was actually there. I know I don't log into SFB Online a lot. Come on. It's not like I hang out on my computer all day long. I do that enough at my job, so it's not like I want to. And given that, I did actually saw the last round 1 game starting to be played. That was 0G versus Admiral Zin, Z. Basically, David Zimbars. So, that actually game is in progress, and they're supposed to finish it up, hopefully, this Saturday. Unfortunately, I will not be able to watch it because I will be gone. I got other things on my itinerary for this weekend. Now, moving on to the library report. Unfortunately, no progress on the library. It was 2,426 games have been completed, 906 yet to be converted, and percent complete is 72.8%. And with that is the news for this week. And it's me, as the one, the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we've got me, we've got Matt, we got Dave, which is wonderful in the chat room. Currently, no one's called in, but that's fine. We're going to be talking about a subject which I've been actually pretty fascinated with as of late, just because of the whole thing with starting to stream this podcast on YouTube. And posting some videos for SFB Online and things like that. And that is the whole idea of SFB Online videos, not just streaming, because you can do streaming, but the question is how many people actually would be interested in watching a stream of SFB Online games. They might be interested, but the thing is, if I'm streaming, I can't really record at the same time. It doesn't quite work out. Now, I had different thoughts on it, and I just wanted to bring them up. Oh, that's bad. I'm sorry. Sidetrack. Just a little warning for anyone who has not listened to the podcast before or has not listened to the podcast that much. One thing we do is actually during football season, we actually look at, we have Dave, who's very attentive, who keeps an eye on the scores of the Thursday night game. And currently, Bengals 21, Ravens 7, 4 minutes left on the half. And unfortunately, I'm a Ravens fan. So my Ravens are losing. Now, just to let you know, I'm not that big of a Ravens fan in that I'm not much into football. The reason being is I'm a real baseball fan. That means I watch baseball until November. Until November is done, I won't watch football. So, by the time I watch it, the football season is halfway done. That is true. I can do that now. Okay. SFB Attic. Not sure where that is. Now I remember. Thank you, Dave. It took me a moment where you got that comment from. And I totally forgot. I assume you're talking about Les LeBlanc. Dave, because Lord knows he is, that would make absolutely and total sense because he's the one that created these, I think it's the Starfleet Battles subreddit page. Yeah, that makes sense. So, yes. We can stream it. Now, here's the one minor issue with streaming and then, quote-unquote, recording to YouTube. Now, there's one thing I need to look into because I definitely want to look into for this podcast, which is it might take a little bit of time because after I'm done here, I'm done for the night. I paste things together when it comes to the audio portion of the podcast, the news portion. I add that to the actual recording that I'm doing right now because I record the tape. You know, it's live to tape. So to say the very least, it makes things a heck of a lot easier for me. I might do some minor tweaks and so forth here and there, but for the most part, I don't modify what actually is I record. Except for, you know, I've done some tweaks, as I said. Sometimes volume-wise, I've had to adjust things a little bit, especially when there's a guest. That actually is working out better now that I can actually use Logic Pro 10 to modify the recordings because then they're just a little bit behind the scenes. I record the guests and me as two separate channels. Therefore, I can have two separate tracks in Logic Pro so that I can actually increase the volume on one of the tracks without increasing the volume for both ends. Because invariably, with Skype actually just added back in, I've got to see if that actually works, which is that Skype added back in the ability to say, no, don't automatically adjust the microphone. I'd like to know who it was, the person who decided that, you know, we really should get rid of that feature because of it worked. That's great for most people. If you're just going to use it for making phone calls, that is fine. But if you're actually going to record, you need the level to be a certain way. You know, and the thing is, that's what most people do. Oh, crud. The Bengals are now up 28-7. 3 minutes left in the half. Boy, they did that in a whole minute? Dang on it. I'm assuming a lot of passes and some more misses and so forth and stop the clock and all that kind of fun stuff. But anyhow, so, you know, now, what I like, one thing that for, oh, yeah, I agree. Okay. Dave, where are you getting these comments from? Because I don't remember seeing these. Okay. Okay. Yes, I've gotten OBS Studio. I've not looked into it. I've actually looked at OBS Studio, and when it comes to, so you can actually stream to Twitch and record at the same time. Which is, at least I think you can. The big issue, as I mentioned, the big issue with YouTube and recording direct live and just putting that out there is that I'm gonna be honest with you guys. Okay, I posted the game with me against Grimm. Called Death of a Romulan KR, because basically I screwed up, he killed me, and so I died. So that's why it's called that. Now, the one thing I did to that video is that I used iMovie to increase the actual recording by like 20 times. That's about right. Because of the game was really went overall slow. That game which records, I trims down to around an 8 minute video, originally was like a 2.5 hour video. Now, I forget if I posted take two of that or not. I was working on take two, which was the first take was just, I think I posted take two because the first take was basically take everything and just speed it up. And that's great and all. The biggest issue with that, obviously, is that all the windows that popped up, you know, it's like a flash and gone. So I brought it up in iMovie and I did some trimming so that those sections could then be done at normal speed and then sped up in between so that it could actually be watched in a little more pleasant of a manner. And then, I remember take two because take two, I actually added some audio. Basically, the audio was just this repeat sound effects or something like that. I start with the klaxon, you know, kind of, you know, the whole idea of, you know, starting with the klaxon because, you know, the whole idea that you're going into battle, that kind of thing. Oh, yeah, agreed. And, yeah, I agree that, you know, okay. Here's the one thing that I don't know. I'll just for freaking giggles, I'll look more into OBS. Because the big thing for me is that currently I'm recording using QuickTime Pro. Actually, QuickTime, not QuickTime Pro. Just to do a screencast of it. And obviously I have, you know, a limited desktop space. And I can record a good bit of video. But the big key here when it comes to the video at all is that somebody has to be recording it. Somebody either there's actually one that's I recorded. I called it the learning game. I think that's what I called it. But anyway, basically, I happened to be online. I went, oh, hey, cool. And I noticed that there was actually somebody teaching at Neon Pico. I forget his actual name. Neon Pico is his call sign. His call sign. Anyway, these two guys were playing, and I went, okay, let's record this. So I sat there and I recorded. Now, do a screen capture. That means I can't do anything at that moment in time. I can't do anything else. Because if I switch screens, it will record what I switch the screen to. Now, I'm not sure if OBS actually supports the old idea of, okay, you start recording a screen. Oh, thanks. Oh, thanks, Josh. Matt Potter. This is Neon Pico. For OBS, which I do have installed because I did do a streaming of this podcast on Twitch. I've done that once. Because so far, YouTube Live is a heck of a lot easier to do when it comes to broadcasting. And I think overall, I think YouTube Live is actually a better tool for this podcast. Yes. So, Dave, I agree. There's lots of tools out there. I'd like to know where you're getting this stuff from. and I need to take a computer, which brings me to the topic that I was going to talk about, actually. Which is the whole idea of, okay, creating these videos, which is great. Now, the one thing I'm thinking about looking into is the whole idea of, see if I can automate this. Now, to automate this, what I'm thinking about, I got to look into this a little bit. Because I think I can get it so I can have the online client come up, have it log in automatically into a game, to one of the rooms, and then if I can get something to start recording, I have to look at OBS or anything else to see if there's an automated way of actually recording the video. Basically, start recording immediately. Via some kind of automated process. Whether that process might be something as simple as what I currently have for test object. Test object, in unbeknownst to some people, because I have not actually broadcast this, except for possibly I mentioned this on the podcast previously, which is one of the things that currently test object can do is that if you PM, directly message test object, it sends me a notification. So that at any time you do a personal message to test object, I will get a message. It also has another feature. Now, it wouldn't be server-side recording. I would have to record it locally here. But I have a secondary computer, which I bought a few months ago, which I haven't been actually using. I was going to use it for something else. And now that I'm thinking about the whole recording thing, I was thinking that might be a great way to set up a Linux box, like Ubuntu or something along that lines. Because I'm not going to try to do it on Windows. Screw that. I got to see if I think OBS works with Linux. And hopefully it'll work with my setup for Linux. I'll check. And have it so that, the question is, how do I automate that? Would I actually have it so possibly, using test object or some other account, have it so that automatic bring says, oh, hey, looks like someone, there's actually two or three people in this one room, start up a recording. Now, obviously, the big issue with that is that you only can record one at a time. That's the only way to do that. Now, one of the things that I've wanted to work on, and I had, it is one of those things on my to-do list to get completed by the end of the year. And of course, the end of the year is coming around real fast. And that is the ability to watch a game, the ability to watch a game via the browser itself. You know, don't have, not a recording, but being able to, at that point, if I actually could have that set up so that people can actually watch the game, not maybe even interact with the chat. I'm not as concerned with interacting with the chat. More want people have the ability to actually watch the game on a website. Just watch the watch the ships move and so forth. I think I can do that. I might not be able to get that done by the end of the year, but I got to at least see if I can get a chat room up for it. That would be great, because the great thing about that would be is that I could actually set up, and in theory, I should be able to set up an automated way of doing it, either via connecting. I'm not sure if I can connect it with Facebook or not, but definitely for Twitter, I could definitely set it up with Twitter. If our worst case scenario, have it send an email to me and then have me tweet it out or whatever, post it up on the social. That'd be a workaround for things. So, I would love to be able to do that. I would love to be able to record it automatically for at least one, you know, obviously the big issue there would be multiple games. I only can record one video of one game at one time. And the key thing for even recording and automating that process would be to have it so that it can automatically bring up the game, the room, and then show like probably the chat room at the bottom, the, you know, have the board, and then possibly, you know, just keep max out the board so you actually can see the counters on the board, so you can see the move, and then have be able to see the SSDs. Now, that's one, that last part is one thing I was actually thinking about today or yesterday, one of those two, which was, currently I do have a feature which I know I need to work on a little bit, which is called the Fleet View. The Fleet View currently is a modal dialog. That means you click on the button, it comes up, it blocks everything else. You can't switch, you can't have that view up at the same time go, you know, interact with the board. And that's one of those things that I thought about. It's like, you know, I really should see if I can modify that, which in theory it shouldn't be hard to do. The only tough part, obvious to me, not obvious to you, that is making sure that window stays up to date. That's always the more difficult part, because you have to send out the notifications, make sure everyone gets a notification that this ship was changed, therefore you have to update the window. So, and because I was thinking about having a single, you know, that obviously that solved that one problem there. So that's a workaround. What I was thinking about is see if I can have a single window of both players' ships so they can get, you know, an overall view of it. One thing I was even thinking about possibly doing was either have it so the background can be modified, you know, depending upon which opponent, to have it red or blue. That's always a gotcha when it comes to colors. Because the problem with colors is some people are colorblind. When people are colorblind, that presents a big, big issue. Just for the plain simple reason, that not everyone can see red, you know, because Lord knows my father was colorblind when it comes to red. So a red light would not look like a red light. It would look like a gray light. The only reason he knew it was a red light was because of the position on the traffic light. So which makes things really look weird. If you think about that, if you think about anything that's red, you don't see red. You see shades of gray just for red. Not for yellow. You know, it's not like you're a dog where everything, at least my understanding is that for dogs, everything is black. They see it completely in black and white. They don't see anything in color. So never to ask a dog, go get the red ball, because they say, what red ball? It's a ball. You know? But anyhow, so that's why it's like I got this nice computer. I got to look in. At the moment, I've only got 8 gigs of RAM on it, which in my mind should do it. It's not going to be super powerful. I don't care if it's super powerful. The big thing at that point is going to be transferring the files from the one computer to my main computer, where I do all my editing and so forth. So it'd be interesting to see if I can get that all done. Yeah, understood. Dave was posting that when recording an observer, the watcher does not see the EAs, which is a little drawback. Yeah, it's a little drawback, but at the same time, you can't have that. If you think about that, if you let the all of the watchers look at the EAs, then at that point, all they have to do is get a friend to say, "Hey, what's so and so's EA? You know, what's wrong with this picture?" You know. Now, I understand that. Yeah, and in theory, given my godlike power, I actually could put into the client a special mode, which maybe not release that version of the client, but have a special version of the client, which will allow me to look at the actual EAs during the game. Now, really? Here's the thing. Actually be able to see the EAs during the game. The only advantage of seeing the EAs is for learning. That's all it's ever designed for, in my mind. When it comes to EAs in general, you can, in theory, here's the thing. If someone is cheating, which is possible to do, because of it's a lot easier to cheat in SAP than it is FedCom. FedCom, it's a lot harder to cheat. And also, of course, with FedCom, you don't really have a secret EA. So that's a whole different ball of wax. The only thing secret is before you actually announce your speeds, your EA is unknown. After you start the game, start that turn, then you know, okay, what the status of the weapons are and so forth. Therefore, you know what the EA has. Yeah, but at the same time, To make it, and I'll obviously, okay, there's also the big issue. Here's the one big issue, is, yay, Ravens scored, so now it's 28-14. So now they're only 14, so two touchdowns behind. Yeah, I agree. Less. The lives different matter. I agree there. Now, here's always the gotcha, and Les, I'm sure that you understand this. And that is that how do you present that information? Obviously, if it's completely done by hand, like I have someone sitting there watching the video, you know, watching the game, recording the game. You could, in theory, at the very end, have the players reveal, pop up the EAs, and then basically scroll through the EA so you can see all of the EA. So you can see it afterwards, you know. And the question is, at that point, again, it's a little different because, well, I would think what you actually would want to see when it comes to EAs is actually you'd want to see a static image of the EA. You know, that you actually can watch, have on the side, you know, maybe have, and of course, when it comes to multiple ships. Right. Oh, I agree. Les, there's definitely two kinds of it. One's live versus edited. And edited playback. Edited playback is, I think, what most people are going to want. Because the reason why I think most people are going to want an edited playback is simple. And that is that watching a game, an SAB game, can be really, really boring. Let's be honest. Depends upon the player. It really does. If the players involved in the game are actually moving along at a decent pace, let's say a relatively quick pace, where you can get through a turn in an hour, which is a decent pace. Obviously, usually what you can do is, like anything else, you know, I've experienced this with play by email. Yeah. Streaming live becomes automated live is problematic. As I said, you know, for, oh yeah. Now, okay. Let's get back to live versus edited. Are the whole difficulties of recording. Now, I mean, okay. Let's back up. I can imagine doing automated recording or possibly even automated live for tournament stuff because it's simple. You've got two ships on the board, two ships, one for each opponent that gets viewed. So you don't have to try to keep track of what kind of status each of the ships are in because of, you can, in theory, as I said, you can have it so that, you know, as I said, the whole idea of having a single window which shows the status of all the ships on the board, which is, I think, would be a great thing for people when it comes to observers. When it comes to players, I don't see that as being as helpful because of, I think that for most part, people aren't looking at the generic status of their ships, you know, compared to their opponent in that one view. I could be wrong on that. I think most people, what they want in that case is just look, okay, what's the status of my ships? What's the status of my opponent's ships? That's why the fleet view, if I can change that so it can be floating, basically can be, you can keep an eye on it. And it will, and it's, you know, it's not modal as it currently is. I think that'd be great for those people playing in fleet battles. And I agree that, you know, edited playback is the way you want to go for non-tournament stuff. Yeah, but if it played back, I'm not sure. Yeah, but a vid playback really isn't for the playing players, is it? Though, is it? It's for the observers. Yeah, agreed. It's for anyone who wants to observe, be able to observe the game, and obviously there is that one other issue, which is when it comes to revealing the EAs. Now, in an automated fashion, that would be great to do for by keeping an ear/eye out for when the EAs are revealed. Assuming the EAs are revealed, meaning the one thing I forgot to the only time you'd want to do that is when that the players say revealed EAs because of one minor thing. And that is you have to make sure that the game is complete before the EAs are actually shown. So for that, before the EAs are actually shown, because if you do it before, then then we got a problem. Actually, it's fine as long as it's not actually put out there. Oh yeah, a live game. Phew. You got that right. An EA would never be revealed in a live game, and that's understood. Now, as I said, for a recorded game, the big question is during play. Again, it's one of those things that it gets really difficult to show. What would require, if I was to even show the EAs as part of the recording of an automated recording, is that I would have to, you probably want to show the EAs just in between turns, and that's it. Though, if you really think about it, most people, they don't want to see it in between turns. But they want to see EAs, at least in my mind. Maybe I'm wrong here. I'm not sure that will help, though. Les is saying that, okay, in that other, quote-unquote, other client, each mouse click is recorded and then can be played back later. If something is similarly done in SFBOL, maybe that could include EAs for non-live playback. Still not exactly sure what that means. But yeah, the whole mouse recording the mouse click and play it back later doesn't really do anything, because of if the game is gone, there's no way to replay it. The recording, as I'm seeing it, at least I'm thinking about it, is actually just doing a screen capture of the actual client, because that's what I figure people want to see. They want to see how, you know, what does it look like in the client and show the games and that kind of thing. And for, as I said, for live, what I would love to do for live is not actually have a video, but have people go to a website where they actually can watch the game live without video. You know, it's actually on a web page. I think that is a better solution overall, because then what people can do is they can examine things themselves. They can say, okay, what do I want to look at? Do I want to look at the ships? Do I look at the shuttles? Do I, you know, things like that. I've seen how they do log files. I'd have to compare that, because actually I do have as part of the client a way to record a game. I just don't remember. It's been a while since I looked at it. Yeah, but I think more when it comes to webpage for live, I think it's good in that it doesn't require people to download a client, and it doesn't require people to actually stream. And you, and they actually can, if it's a live on a web page, then without it actually being just a recording, not a recording, but a video, that gives people a lot more control about what they want to see. You know, because of, you always have the issue. You always have the issue, and Lord knows I have the issue constantly with the limited number of actual videos that I've done of games for on SFB Online. And that is, where do you zoom in when it comes to the counters? Obviously, the easiest way to do that is just never zoom in. Just have it just always the full screen. Well, not the full screen, but the full board all the time. Simplifies things greatly. But at the same time, I don't think people really want that, because obviously it's limited by the size of the screen that you have, which I have a limited size of my screen. Come on. That's it. I don't have super high resolution computer, and Lord knows I'm not about to spend $3,000 on a gaming machine that I'm going to be just recording videos on for SFB Online. It won't pay me anything to do that. Now, if I get a big uptick in people playing, you know, actually having subscriptions, you know, because of the videos, you know, obviously at some point I can upgrade my system and go that route. So that, you know, maybe you can do always full board, you know, and it can be high resolution enough that people actually can see the counters and recognize the counters. But that's one of the reasons why you zoom in, is so you want to see what's going on. You want to zoom in on the action, basically. And that's one of those great things that doing a web page for live, it would be fantastic. And that's why I want to work on that. Now, I got to work on trying to work out the flaws and what's going on with it. One of the great things actually with that also is that I could split off some of the traffic when it comes to the communication that happens between the clients, because currently all the communication happens through the clients is through the IRC server directly, and you see everything. You know, I'm hoping to do is actually do a little bit differently, if possible, to get the information and so forth. Maybe I can do that at some other point, but I will see if I can possibly get the recording stuff working with SFB Online. Because as I said, I did it a while back, and I have not really maintained that, so I'm willing to bet it's pretty much broken. So I will take a look see. Maybe that's one way of doing it, is logging in and then just recording the game, recording what people are doing, and then later on replay it back, in the client, and then after you save the recording, play it back in the client and see how it plays back. Now, the one thing I have to remember is, if I recall correctly, I don't record to file. Right. Agreed, Les. That with the log playback, the person with the playback has control, look to zoom in and so forth. And obviously, the one thing that would have to be, also, you have to have the ability to pause the playback. That's a critical feature, because if you just have it so you can hit play and just plays it all back, and you can't stop it, you can't pause it, then you have a problem, because then it's just going to. Yes, it was. The only question I want to make sure about is that I'm not sure if it wrote directly to the file or it saved it in memory and then you could save it to a file. There's a big difference with that. And that the reason why that I'm delineating those two is because of to do the second one where you're recording to memory and then writing later. Yeah, it requires you to have a lot more memory on your machine to save up all of these records, all of the actions that are occurring. So, and then save it to file, which might be a huge file. So that's why I want to make sure that it is recording right to file. I forget if I do or don't. But I have to check to see if that's still working, because that's another way of doing it, is see if I can at least automate the process for that, so I can, because if I can get that recording, the playback of that recording to work for as an observer, that would be fantastic, because then I can then have it so that I just record that and I can play it back myself. And obviously, there's the big thing I have to really look at when it comes to that logging is, what does it actually save the chat? Because the chat is kind of critical to what's going on in the room. Because the chat actually, in some cases, shows the action. Because in some cases, of some of the stuff is not automated, does not have a UI in the client, i.e. tractor. When you actually do a tractor auction, what's the normal way of doing a tractor auction in the SAB Online client? Currently, what it is that you, as an action, you announce that, okay, I'm going to try to tractor you. At that point, then it falls back on the chat. And you go plus one, and then the person replies, you got me, or like plus one, plus two, plus three, plus four. And they'll go back and forth with that, and that'll be the tractor auction. That's the way it's normally done. So, which means chat is a critical portion of the client. And of course, then there's the whole issue of messages that are automated from the system. But I digress. I'm getting to details which really don't need to be discussed at this moment in time, because I'm sure I'm boring people with some of these nitty-gritty details. But agreed that I need to look at that and see if I can get that done, because that might actually behoove me and be a much better way of doing things. Now, I still, even with that, I think I still want to set up my second computer here that's sitting right beside me. Set up with Ubuntu and so forth. See if I can set up with YouTube Live or OBS. I think OBS, you can actually do things on Linux. I know it supports Mac because that's what I've got it on right now. Oops. But I'm not sure about. I'm sure I can get Chrome working. So I could actually stream live from that computer, which for me would be a lot better off, because then I can actually stream the one and not have to worry about, okay, I'm streaming that screen, which has my I have an online client so people can see it and see how it's working, and I can go off and do other things to a certain degree. Obviously, I still have to pay attention because of the whole zooming in and so forth, as we had previously remarked about. Now, here's one. Okay. Yeah, I understood. The question is less Chromium. Does it have the support for YouTube Live? You know, all those things when it comes to integrating with the microphone and all that kind of thing. Is that actually built in to Chromium? Because I'm not sure what part is the proprietary stuff, which is part of Chrome, and versus the open source stuff, which is Chromium. I know Raspberry Pis are in the fixed box. Actually, I've got, you know, I said. Okay. Let's all look at that. He said that it's Chrome is, basically, Chromium is Chrome with the Google privacy stuff ripped out. So, actually, I would love to see if I can get Chromium for the Mac. I think that'd be kind of cool. Because currently, I avoid using Chrome like the freaking plague. The only reason I'm currently using Chrome is for two reasons. One, YouTube Live, because it does it quite well. Two, the stinking TalkShoe client requires you to use Chrome. Do I like this? No, I do not. But it is what it is. So, you know, I would like to see if I can get set up a streaming box. Understood. Actually, okay, Les, that's one thing I disagree with to a certain degree. You haven't been on, obviously you don't listen to the podcast much. Because otherwise you probably understand one of the things that have been discussed before. One of the things that I've discussed before when it comes to TalkShoe, the one thing that TalkShoe still gives me that YouTube Live does not give me, it gives me a way of actually talking to people. Currently, this is completely a podcast. Now, in theory, what I can do is I can say, just forget it. People don't call in. It's just going to be me talking about what I'm talking about. And all my interactions are going to be through the chat. Yeah, well, the YouTube Live for the playbacks, you don't see TalkShoe. I'm not sure what you mean, you don't see TalkShoe. Currently, the YouTube Live channel is streaming the chat room for TalkShoe. So, but as I said, and I've talked about this before, and one of the things that I'm thinking about doing is I might move away from TalkShoe, and I know some people are there. The one concern that I forget who it was, whether it was Dave or Russ, brought up a few podcasts ago about the whole idea of moving off of TalkShoe altogether. And that is, can we still post the podcast to TalkShoe? And I'm pretty sure I can upload the videos to TalkShoe, and they'll be happy to stream that. No. Yes, exactly. See, that's the thing, Les. I currently stream direct to YouTube, but also I have this game playback is one thing. Talk show is not. Oh, agreed. Okay. Then I'm not sure why you have the whole thing. You know, I don't need talk show. I definitely, you know, I guess I definitely can post on, I can still post on TalkShoe, even if I don't record on TalkShoe. At least to my understanding, that still is the thing. But as I said, the one thing about TalkShoe itself is that it allows me to actually have people call in and we can have a conversation. Now, the one thing I have thought about, and it is possible to switch over to just like YouTube Live and have everyone chatting there. Personally, I don't like that idea. Here's another thing that TalkShoe gives us that YouTube Live does not, and I'm not sure Twitch does, and I have not looked at Twitch. And that is, it allows people, this might happen on YouTube Live, and I have not actually investigated this enough. To say this for a fact, and that is that for TalkShoe, I like to have the ability of people anonymously, not really anonymously, but basically to actually join in the conversation without requiring them to actually get an account. That is one of the things that I like about TalkShoe. I'm not sure if you can do that on YouTube or if YouTube requires you to actually have a Google account. And don't say that, oh, but everyone has a Google account. I have a Google account, and said at the least, I don't like it. Do I use Google for my search? No, I do not. Do I remain logged in to my Google account while I'm roaming around the web? I do not. When I log into Google, what I do is I bring up Firefox or in this case Chrome, and then I can, you know, I have to do, and then after I'm all said and done, I clear my history, I clear my cache, clear everything so that there's no history of me being on Google. Yeah, me neither. Okay. Guest 6 is saying that you can remain anonymous on YouTube. However, Guest 6, are you mean that you can actually interact with the chat room on the YouTube Live channel or YouTube Live broadcast? Or is that you can log into YouTube, you log into Google, but remain anonymous in the chat itself? Okay, so here's my question. Before I finish that, that's my next question, which means that yes, you can, according to Guest 6, we actually can have it so that people can do that. In which case, if that is the case, yeah, well, I know why you can't do YouTube on incognito mode, and that's mainly because of they want all those wonderful tracking cookies. So they can see what you're doing, and then they can, this is okay, rabbit hole down here. That is that, forget that. I went too long and I forgot what I was started popping up. So that means that, in theory, we could actually switch over to YouTube Live as our chat room. And I can then record that, as I do. The one thing, obviously, would still be the call-in. The call-in can be done via free conference call service. And use either Skype or using whatever. Probably use Skype to call in to the conference call and then have people call the conference call. And then we can go from there. Which to me would be would absolutely and positively be fine. I'm pretty sure that the conference call sites would actually allow you to control who gets to have voice, mute people and all that kind of thing. Things that like Zoom currently does via, but I'm not sure what fashion that would be required. Would that require me to actually log into another website, to the website itself while the conference call is going on and control it that way? Or would I be required to use my phone and things like that? I know YouTube accounts, and I don't think they're required to have a valid phone number. The only time they require you to have a valid phone number, to my knowledge, is if you actually want to do a live broadcast. That is the case, because that's one thing I had to do for my SFU On Call channel, is that I actually had to register a valid phone number with them, which, strangely enough, is a Google Voice number. But normally for a Google account, it's not required that you have a phone number. Oh, agreed. For game live broadcast, it is not. But unfortunately, you guys talking about TalkShoe, and that's part of the rabbit that we're chasing in the middle of the talking about live broadcast of games. I just want to get that out of there, because Les, you're the one who brought up TalkShoe, and not needing TalkShoe. What is that exactly you said? You said, dun, 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 dun. If you're on YouTube Live, you don't really need TalkShoe. The only time you would actually need TalkShoe is for the podcast. I don't use TalkShoe for broadcasting the live games. I wouldn't do that. I'm limiting my platform too much. Oh yeah, the migrating podcast is definitely a topic for another day. The topic that I've discussed in multiple instances, and one I will probably discuss to the degree where at the moment I still have a YouTube Live feed, and at the moment just to get through this, and then I'll get back to the live game. The gaming video topic, and that is that for TalkShoe, to leave TalkShoe, the idea was either go YouTube Live or Twitch. Currently, I'm definitely currently co-broadcasting on YouTube Live because of Twitch requires OBS to be running, and since I'm already bringing up Chrome anyway, I might as well use YouTube Live. And I think YouTube Live, in my mind anyway, is a lot more accessible than Twitch. I'm not sure if you actually can stream Twitch through a browser. Understood that, guess six, I'm still have the YouTube Live channel, and I'm looking at the chat room in YouTube Live. I see no one chatting over there. So at the moment, there's still no reason to go completely YouTube Live. And maybe I'll do a test session one of these days. I'll grab Dave and Russ because they're my faithful confidants when it comes to testing things. Like we actually tested a quick recording using Discord. Using Discord, and that actually went quite well, and I enjoyed it. Though I finally got the idea down pat. I'm trying to delineate what is the best for what. Oh, understood that the people in TalkShoe are currently not monitoring YouTube. I'm watching the YouTube chat, which is currently empty. and that's fine. So anyone who's just looking at the YouTube live stream directly, which is we have two viewers currently on YouTube Live. So if people want to, you know, if I have more people on YouTube, great. I'd be happy to do that. And, you know, and obviously, as I said, you know, if I actually move off of TalkShoe, I will definitely have to have a conferencing solution, conference call solution. It's either that or the one thing I did think about is have single login. One person calls in and then talk to that person, and then I drop off the call with that person. The next person can wait in line, basically, while they try to recall in. That's another thing to do. Okay. Switching back topics. sorry, chase down that topic for a little bit just because of, if you're on a tablet like me, it's hard to run both simultaneously. So dropped off YouTube chat here. Okay. So when you announce chat will be talk show, that's where people show up. Understood less. I don't announce that chat will be on TalkShoe. I announce that I will be doing a TalkShoe show and that I'll have a YouTube live stream. If people are assuming that, okay, one thing, you brought it up, so let's go. The one thing that, you know, obviously is that, yes, I do see the chat on YouTube, and currently on the group chat, I see absolutely nothing. You know, so maybe I'm assuming that I'm not missing anything, because currently there's only two people, and I'm not sure who those two people are. Oops, what the heck? Excuse me. Huh? You see the chat on YouTube, so we know that you're my... I'm on one of those two. Okay. Not sure. Okay. Anyhow. I said maybe I'll try that out at some point. With Russ and Dave. Again, you know, that's another thing. And as I've mentioned before about that topic, and that is that before I actually would switch from TalkShoe to purely like YouTube Live when it comes to the podcast, then at that point, if I'm going to do that for, at that point, what I would do is I would, a month beforehand, I'd be announcing it, and then every single week as of that month, I would then be reminding people of it until the day comes, in which case I would do the big switch. So I still have not yet, Matt. Take care. At that point, you know, everyone would know, and everyone hopefully would be switched over and be ready for that. Obviously, the biggest concerns would be people who are used to TalkShoe. Now, of course, the one thing with TalkShoe did in July, which is they changed the phone number. So that was interesting. So that caught some people off guard. Mainly, I know Barry, who calls in every once in a while. But anyhow, let's get back on track to talk about live gaming just for a little longer. And that is, I think everyone agrees, overall for something that we want to post, have a posted video of. When it comes to games, we definitely... We all left YouTube to come here, and honestly, most YouTubers run live chat over voice. Otherwise, only two people will hog the on-air time like certain Gen often does when he calls in. Oh, geez. Okay. I'm not exactly sure what that means. YouTubers run live chat over voice. Okay, run a live chat instead of voice. Okay. Understood. Okay, I think I understand what you're saying now. Okay. Took me a moment. But you know, well, one way or other. Okay, but let's get. Yes, I agreed. Agreed. Hey, I'm here. Live games are what they are. I agree. And the playback, I think, is where the most people are going to watch videos. I think there's going to be a short number of people that actually we're going to watch live, to be honest. The whole idea of edited playback and those videos that are saved so people can download and watch them later, those things are those are almost what you consider marketing material. They are showing you, okay, this is SMB. This is what the online client is like. This is people playing the game. And especially for those people who've played Starfleet Battles for, you know, haven't played for, let's say, years. Well, most people haven't played for years. And this is one way to draw them back in. They'll see, oh, yeah, I remember that game. And they watch it and see the action that occurs and all that kind of thing. And, you know, they like it because... Here's the one thing that I have to agree when it comes to games in general. And that is that you're going to have a certain number of people who like live games. You know, non-thinking. Well, not even non-thinking. I take that back. I'm sorry. Have the reaction for Call of Duty, things like that, where you have to be, or even, Warcraft? Yeah, Warcraft or Starcraft. There's where you are RTS, real-time system of tactics and strategy. Right there down in front of you. Versus more of an asynchronous game, which basically SMB falls in that category. Versus, which is one of the things I really like. I love asynchronous play. Because asynchronous play, for most people, the one thing it affords is people that are maybe a little older up in age, like moi, or even younger players. It gives you an opportunity to think. You know, you're not doing... What ends up happening, in my at least to me, you are... And with live RTS games, you're reacting to what's occurring. Yes, you do some strategy, you do some tactics, you do some planning. But at the same time, if you can get to the point where that planning part, that thinking part, can go out the window because you're trying to react to a situation that's currently happening right in front of you. While like SFB, okay, the one of the great things that why people love, and I do mean love, free play, i.e., not free play, it's called free movement. Free movement, where you actually get to decide what you do, every single impulse of the game. Reason why they liked it was so that they can then think things through and not miss those opportunities. Now, the original game of SFB did not have that. It did have that, but you didn't have that. You had those opportunities. You had the impulses, so you actually do those actions for every single impulse. Oh, I agree that Starfleet Command would have been perfect for RTS, but of course Paramount killed it. Basically, is what happened. But for SAB, you know, when it comes to free play, you know, it allowed people not only to decide what actions they occur every impulse, but also what movement. Because originally for SAP, if you go back in the old days, you would do plotted movement for like 8 impulses. Because the whole idea, and I love this idea, which was a captain could not think that fast. They couldn't react that quickly. It took them a bit of time to actually react to what was happening. You know, and actually, so it simulated that thing. You know, yes, you could tell, okay, prepare to het. Or, you know, prepare to het. Or more importantly, you know, prepare to turn right. You know, go port or starboard. Okay. And you could, get ready to fire. So the people, at that moment in time, they press the button. Boom. Actually, fire is a little different because, as I said, you still had that wasn't plotted. Movement was plotted. Actions was not. But the movement, you know, so. Yes. Okay, that's the understood that, you know, you look for game playback when you care about a new game. Understood. And again, those are basically marketing materials. It's for getting people involved and interested in the game. When it comes to SFB Online, that's exactly what it is. Now, to get people involved in it, yes, agreed. That, you know, the audience will be small. Now, the question is, can we grow that audience? Now, for SFB, probably not. Can we produce? Can we get maybe FENCOM to be that kind of game where people play and they'll get involved, and it's a little bit of faster moving game, a little bit faster mover? Or do we have to create the game which I want to create? But I'm not a game creator, unfortunately. And that is what I call SFU ships. The beauty of SFU ships is it boils, the whole idea of SFU ships is it takes SFB and boils it down to its core. Simplify to what is the basics of SFB. To me, the basics of SFB Okay. That was not nice. Looks like I might have to do a little bit of editing. Fun. Yes. Agreed. I think War Machine, it's so expensive, but I don't know what War Machine is, so sorry. Now, the thing is, for SF, okay, the core in my mind of as a bee is. Impulse movement, actions, seeking weapons, shields, and direct fire weapons. Okay. Don't download whatever frick it is. Okay, well, I'm going to be doing some editing. But anyhow. And so that's the core of SFU ships. That's the core of SSB. A lot of this other stuff, it's miscellaneous. The transporters, the tractors, yeah, there's nice little additional features. You know? But they're nice little features. But with that, there's nice little, you know, with nice little features, those also create issues. Okay, I'm gonna have to. Don't mind me. Okay, with that, I think I'm going to end for other reasons due to some people being very, very rude. But anyhow, so that's a few ships, and I think that might actually present some interest into the community, because then the play could be simpler and easier and faster, which I think is what some people are actually looking for. So with that, we're going to wrap up for this evening. Had a nice little discussion about, well, TalkShoe, big surprise. I came back, and that's one of those reasons to actually leave TalkShoe now. So, so we're going to be, and had a nice little discussion about live versus edited games and overall have a nice little discussion on thank you, Les, for coming by, and also thank you, Guest Six. We will probably have the discussion about TalkShoe again at some point. And with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.